Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 725. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about a festival and a funicular, hikes and graffiti tours, cathedrals and coffee, as we go to Bogota, Colombia. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Bogota. I would like to welcome to the show Lauren Pelkey from wanderlulu.com, which has way more use in Lulu than you would expect. Check the show notes for how to spell that. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be chatting with you today.
And we're chatting about Bogota, Colombia. And Lauren, what is your connection to Bogota?
The age-old question. I truthfully never had Colombia on my list, wasn't really on my radar, but love brought me here. My boyfriend moved here about 5 years ago, and so for the past 5 years, I have been visiting on and off and finally kind of made the move down here this year.
And you picked a good year to move internationally.
I know. Talk about crazy timing. I finally, 5 years in, all right. We're going to do this. I'm going to get the visa, all of that. And then I got here in February, and then end of March, the whole country shut down.
Excellent. So we're going to talk about the things that you're going to be able to do when it opens back up, which it's starting to do now. But why should someone go to Colombia and specifically Bogota?
Well, let's start with Colombia as a whole. It's one of my favorite countries I've ever been to. And the reason for that, many, many reasons, but I just love how diverse the country is from region to region. So in one country, you have the Amazon rainforest, you have the Andes Mountains, you have desert, you have the Pacific Ocean, you have the Caribbean. It's really just in terms of biodiversity, it's pretty incredible like how many landscapes you can see in one place. And beyond that, region to region, the cultures are so different. The people and the language, even. I have a friend in Bucaramanga, which is another major city here, who says when she talks to her family on the coast in Barranquilla or Cartagena, sometimes she doesn't even know they're using a phrase that she's never heard before. I know that's in a lot of places, but it's just, it makes it a really, really interesting place to visit.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
So today, I'm going to be specifically talking about Bogota. I feel like Bogota is the capital city. I know a lot of people fly through here, but often I feel like it's an overlooked major, major city. Most people, when they think of Colombia, and you know, Colombia is really gaining popularity in recent years, the first thing they think of is either Cartagena or Medellin. And so now that I live here and I've been visiting for so long, I feel like so many things are overlooked here. So I really kind of want to dive into that and talk about kind of what makes this place so special.
Excellent. And we should say up front that Lauren doesn't claim to be a native Spanish speaker. So if you hear us say Medellin and you think it should be Medellin or something else, she still knows it better than I know it. So what are we going to do in Bogota?
first, if you don't mind just me talking a little bit of the language. I'm so far from, you know, everyone thinks, oh, you must be fluent. You're visiting so much. But the reality is I'm not. And so I kind of have a perspective on what it's like to be here and traveling around when I know very little. Of course, I've gotten better over time, but still learning.
You can, I assume, you know the essentials like una cerveza, por favor.
That's the first phrase you learn, of
course. It's the first phrase you learned. One beer, please.
Exactly. To go back to your question about Bogota, why Bogota? To me, it's an eclectic mix of traditional and modern Colombian culture. And I just love how you can kind of go from, you know, playing tejo and eating maybe an arepa de queso on the street to dancing salsa. And then the next day you're at a fine dining, like Peruvian fusion restaurant and high-end cocktails at a jazz bar. And it's kind of got it all.
Excellent. As long as you're going to promise to explain to me what you were just talking about with with the two things that you were eating and going to somewhere in the course of the conversation.
I will definitely be going over that. So don't even worry.
What are we going to see in Bogota? Where are we going to start?
Okay, so I kind of want to break this down. Bogota is a massive city. It's 8 million people. It's a sprawling city. Hmm. There's so much to do, so much to see. So I kind of want to break it down by neighborhood because it's so big. I feel like it's less of a, okay, you have to hit these, you know, top 10 things, which you see a lot of those lists, which is great, which is fine. But a lot of those lists stay in only one neighborhood. Hmm. You've probably heard of it. I'm pretty sure you've talked about it before, in Candelaria. And so I kind of want to talk about each little neighborhood and kind of what each place brings. So the first place, like I was saying, is the most popular. I would say it's the most touristic part of the city, which, you know, sometimes I think you hear it's touristic, which equals bad to some. But to me, Candelaria, it's a beautiful part of the city. It's the old city. It's the cobblestone streets and the colonial Spanish architecture. And so I'm going to start there with kind of like day one, right?
Okay.
So the reason I start there is because there is this place in that area of the city that's in the more southern part of the city, not all the way south, almost like mid to south, is Monserrate, which is this big, beautiful mountain that overlooks the entire city. It's a really great, like, first thing to do because you really get the lay of the land and see just how massive the city is. So you can get up there three ways. You can hike up. You can take there's like a funicular kind of train that goes up, and then there's the cable car. And the cable car ride up, if you're not afraid of heights, is beautiful. And when you get to the top, I mean, like I said, you have this beautiful sprawling view of the city. And just kind of a little tip, even though I do recommend going early on and during the day, be careful because on the weekends, it is mental. I've seen lines that are probably 3, maybe more hours.
Oh my, okay.
Yeah, so I really recommend if you can go during the week, that's great. And then if you kind of want to do something a little different, if you go right before the sun is setting, it's like a beautiful, beautiful view. Bogota has some pretty gorgeous city sunsets, so that's kind of something to keep in mind.
Well, and you say a mountain. And I just want to put this in perspective because we talk to different people and they say use the word mountain from anything that, you know, we would call hills to things that are mountains. This is 10,000 feet tall. So this is an actual mountain. I think you are entitled to use that. But which also implies that even I'm going to the tropics, I'm going to elevation. So I'm not looking for the same kind of tropical heat that I would have if I was going to sea level.
I'm so glad you brought this up. This happens all the time when someone sees me in a photo or maybe I'm video calling someone and they're saying, why are you wearing a scarf and a jacket? I thought you were in Colombia. And I say, well, I'm in Bogota. And Bogota is over 8,600 feet elevated. It's 3,000 feet higher than Denver. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
So bring my hat, bring my sunscreen because I'm at elevation, but also bring a jacket.
also bring a jacket, and definitely bring a little light rain jacket to throw over, you know, a sweater or a long sleeve shirt, because the weather here kind of goes from when the sun is out, it's beautiful. And Chris, like you said, bring your sunscreen. Don't forget you're really, really, really high. You're close to the sun. You're in a scarf, but you're also close to the sun. So bring your sunscreen, hat. You probably don't need a winter hat here, a baseball cap or something like
That's
that.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yes, for sure. But yeah, a typical day for me is a sweater, maybe a scarf, a little rain jacket, jeans and boots, and you call it a day.
Okay. And then you went up to Montserrat, which is, you didn't say what it was. You said it was a great view, but it's also, there's a palace up there.
It's a church. Yeah. So there's this really beautiful church. It's a really, really famous church. It's like Cathedral de Montserrat Day. People go to actually, there's services held there and people go to pray, and it's an active, still used church, which is really cool. And if you go, I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure there are services throughout the week, but definitely on the weekends. I've gone many times on the weekends and there's usually services being held.
Got it.
And also, oh, just one more thing. You can make it a bit of a morning, because also up there, there's some little touristic shops and there's a whole section with restaurants where you can try typical Colombian food. So it's a fun little morning to kind of start out with.
Excellent. Where to next?
Once you've gotten kind of the lay of the land up there, checked out Montserrat, you can head back down on the, either way, I would recommend the cable car though, down to the kind of heart of Candelaria, which is Plaza de Bolívar. It's the famous center plaza, center square, where you might have seen photos of people feeding pigeons or holding pigeons. Does that sound familiar to you?
It sounds familiar in many, many cities.
Exactly.
And like so many other places in South America, I feel like we just did this in a show in Chile named after one of the heroes of the Wars of Independence, Simón Bolívar.
Okay, so there you go. And you're going to see a lot of people selling little food for the pigeons and people taking pictures. But it really is it's a huge, really, really beautiful plaza. Just kind of like taking a look around, taking a walk around. There's a massive cathedral there. And if you take... I can't really remember the street, but just around the corner is another amazing cathedral that you can see. It's Señora del Carmen.
Okay.
The face of it resembles a candy cane. So you have these red and white, like really, really bold red and white stripes. The first thing you're going to think of when you see it is that's a candy cane church right there. And the cool part about it is it's the same on the inside. So you have this really kind of cool red and white stripe happening all throughout the cathedral inside as well.
Okay.
It's a really beautiful place to just check out, to walk around, and also nearby. So kind of everything I'm recommending is they're very close proximity to one another. So I really just recommend kind of walking around the old city, checking it out, and seeing these beautiful cathedrals. Another thing that's really cool is the Botero Museum, Botero the artist. It's a free museum to check out. Every time I'm in Candelaria, I just have to go in because I find him to be such an interesting artist and his artwork is so interesting. And so you can go in and take a spin around. He's a very, very famous Colombian artist. So it's a really great thing to do. Again, it's free, which I always like.
Now, I'm going to guess that there are events and festivals and things like that in this square and in this area. Is that correct?
There definitely is. I can't really think of one off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I'm just guessing because it sounds like it is named after the Feast of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, a Catholic holiday. Candelaria is what that comes from. And so I don't know if that's for the blessing of the candles and things like that, if there's a different historic name for that, or if, you know, that's the day you want to be down in that area. And I'm just making things up at this point.
I mean, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
But they do have Candle Day. That is a very popular holiday here. I don't know if that's the same. I really have no idea. But I have to assume. I mean, it's you know, one of the most famous churches in the entire city. And so I'm sure around the holidays, there are some pretty beautiful religious festivals going on. And of course, Colombia is overall very religious. So I would say after you have taken a little jaunt around the beautiful cobblestone streets of this area. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple pretty famous, and again, you might find these in guidebooks, but they are for a reason. There's a place called La Puerta Falsa, which is famous for tamales, and they are so delicious. There's another place nearby called Envigadeño, which is famous for bandeja paisa, which is actually a dish that's known in the paisa region, like where Medellin is. And okay. But this place makes it really, really nice, and it's an awesome opportunity to try it if you don't have enough time to go all over the country.
Excellent. But you were going to explain to me what it is, because I don't know.
Ah, yes. So honestly, Chris, there's so many different items on this plate that I won't be able to remember everything.
Okay.
But basically, it's this, they bring you this big old board, and on it, you're going to have a huge slice of avocado. You're going to have blood sausage. There's okay. going to be chorizo, beans, rice, like a very typical kind of spread of Colombian food. Is very, it's very tough to navigate for vegetarians. I have traveled around the country with okay. a vegetarian. It's pretty tough. So this is a very kind of like meat and
so
rice.
So we can get you the vegetables. It's just going to be fried in lard is really what you're saying.
I mean, yes. pretty much yes is the answer to that.
Okay.
So that is kind of like my intro to Bogota, intro to Candelaria section. And okay. I have another day. I've broken it up. This is the reason why. I think some travelers, and I don't know, actually, what kind of traveler are you? Do you try to fit everything into a day?
It depends. Or do you like to if kind I'm traveling of, with my wife, no. If I'm traveling by myself, yes.
Okay, so then you and I are very similar. I like to kind of go, yep. and see everything I can. But
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Candelaria, I actually sometimes split into 2 days.
Okay.
And so the other day, if you're not one of those, hey, I got to fit everything in, and you'd prefer to kind of see at your leisure, take your time, I would split seeing this part of the city into another day. And the reason for that is there is this incredible, it's probably my favorite city tour I've ever mm-hmm. been on anywhere I've ever been. It's called the Bogota Graffiti Tour.
Oh, okay.
I think it's gotten really famous by this time. And they are every single day. I believe they leave at 10 a.m. And a guide, a local guide who is an expert, is either an artist or an expert in graffiti, will take you around. It's over 3 hours, mm-hmm. which sounds really long of walking and whatnot. And the whole time they're pointing out incredible street art. So something to keep in mind is that Bogota is known as one of the best like street art friendly cities on earth. Hmm. I absolutely love street art. I think it's so beautiful, the murals and the colors, and in this part of the city, you're going to see a lot of that. So this tour takes you all around the Candelaria part of the city, and they not only just show you the art, they give you the history behind it. Mm-hmm. They explain, you know, the different styles of the artists. I've actually become, not friends, I wouldn't say that, but I've messaged some of these artists. I commissioned one of the artists to create something for my apartment here. It's just, they give you a really, really like beautiful inside look at that, the graffiti culture and the graffiti art that exists in the city. So I really, really highly recommend that too. Even if you're only a little bit into art, they go beyond just art and really talk about culture and the history of the city.
We've done two different graffiti tours on our travels and loved both of them. I highly recommend that if you haven't done one, then it might be even a more good reason to do it, even if you think you don't like graffiti.
I love that. You know what? I completely agree with that. And a really quick side note, there is some absolutely, Colombia in general has some really, really beautiful art in a lot of their cities. In Cartagena, in another neighborhood outside of the walled city, is Getsemani, and there's another graffiti tour that goes through there. I haven't done it. I've just done it on my own, but there's some incredible artwork on the walls of Getsemani. So put that on your list too.
All right. Excellent. Where to next? We've done the tour.
Okay. So you've done the tour. The tour ends in this really cool part of the city. It's known as Funnel Lane. And once the tour ends, there's all these little shops and bars along this little alleyway. And it's kind of famous for this one drink you can get there. You can't really get it anywhere else. It's called chicha. Have you heard of it?
It sounds familiar.
Okay, it's not just in Colombia. I've had it in Peru as well, but it's kind of like a hush-hush. It's supposed to be outlawed. I mean, they have signs for it, so it's not like it really is. But it's an alcoholic drink made from fermented corn. Okay, so yeah. It's really interesting, and it's just kind of like a fun thing to do. When have you ever tried that before? And they bring it to you in this big bowl with a bunch of straws, and I don't think that would be okay now.
Not a good COVID...
Maybe not the best drink to share anymore, but that is like a fun little thing to do. So after you've gone on this beautiful graffiti tour, maybe you've sat down, had a little drink in this fun little alleyway. Nearby is this market, Palo Quemao. Yes, I said it right. Palo Quemao. It's a huge fruit market that basically you can walk around and get a really cool feel of the fruits and vegetables of Colombia. I mean, Colombia is home to some really, really interesting and exotic fruits. Some of them being like lulo. That's a really popular fruit here that they turn into juice. You'll see that on a lot of menus. And it's kind of this like really tart, sour fruit. And they have granadilla, which looks like a passion fruit, but inside it's actually really sweet. And it's amazing. I mean, you can just walk around and you're going to come across at least 10 things to 20 things, maybe more, that you've never seen before. So those are kind of my favorite things to do in the Candelaria area. And I want to point out that I'm noting things to do during the day. Bogota has an incredible nightlife. And because you spent the day in Candelaria, I'm not saying you have to go back there at night. So if it's okay, I kind of want to talk about where to stay in the city to kind of help you navigate, all right, where am I going to be? Where's the best place to stay? And even though you're going to spend a decent amount of time in Candelaria, I actually don't recommend staying there.
Okay.
I recommend staying in an area called Chapinero. The reason I recommend staying in the Chapinero area is not only because it's a very kind of central place to stay. It's going to kind of be in the middle of the three parts of Bogota you're going to want to spend the most time in. Mm-hmm. But it has a really, really awesome restaurant scene and nightlife scene. So maybe, you know, during the day you're out in Candelaria, but when you come back to your place in the afternoon and you rest at night, you're probably going to stay in that vicinity. So to me, that's the best area to stay.
Okay.
Which kind of brings me to the next part of the itinerary, maybe day two or day three, is really checking out the Chapinero and Chico Norte area, which is kind of the more modern area of the city. This is where you're going to find a lot of the nicest restaurants and cafes and parks, and it's a really, really beautiful area. I actually live in this section of town. It's just a really fun place to be. Like I said, lots of cafes and fun things. So one of the first things I recommend doing is going to have a coffee at Azahar. So Azahar is a cafe near Parque 93.
Okay.
And it's a really great place to go to really get a feel of the, you know, Colombian coffee scene. Because of course, everyone has heard that Colombian coffee is amazing. What better place to try it and to learn about it than right here in Colombia? So Azahar has a little tasting menu. So you can order their little trio, or I think it comes in maybe 3 or 5 different little coffees. Somebody at the restaurant will come over and kind of give you the lay of the land with the different coffees, the region. Maybe you will ask you what kind of flavors you're getting or what you're smelling. And so it's a really fun thing to kind of start the day off with.
Okay.
So I mentioned Park 93. That's what I had said this cafe Azahar is located in. It's this really cute park. There's restaurants all around it. You'll find mainly local people during the week stopping there to have their lunch, have a picnic. You'll see kids running around and dogs running around. It's a really fun, family-friendly area. I go here really, really often. Like I said, lots of great cafes, great restaurants. So once you've walked around this area, from here also is beautiful views of the Andes Mountains. Again, remember guys, we're really up there in the Andes Mountains and it's cool to look around and see them surrounding this part of the city. And so once you've walked around there, what you can do is make your way a little south towards Parque Virrey, which is another really cute park, great cafes, some restaurants sprinkled around, and there's always people running, walking their dogs, having a picnic. It's a very lively, fun, and you'll see the everyday life of the people who live in this area. I really love to take a walk around. It's this big circle, so it usually takes around 30-ish minutes to do the full loop. Mm-hmm. There's this restaurant there called Canasto. And Chris, can I just say during this chat, I'm really hoping that the places I'm speaking about will last through this crazy time.
Sure.
Because
well, yeah, so many places we're talking about this year.
Exactly. We're going to get to another part of Bogota in a little bit. But I recently heard that one of my favorite places for brunch has closed down. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, really tough time. Colombia has been on lockdown for quite a long time. So I'm willing it out there. I'm putting it out there. I'm hoping that these places do survive. But this one is called Canasto. It's a really great place to stop for lunch. It's right along Parque Virrey. And once you've fueled up a little bit, you can continue walking a little bit south down towards Zona Rosa and Andino. So this area, it's basically this Chapinero is this big neighborhood with all of these little sub neighborhoods within it. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to go from north to south and walk through all of them. So Zona Rosa has, again, lots of great restaurants. It's really known for its shopping. So you'll find a lot of shops, both boutique and more commercial. So in the Andino area, there's Forever 21 and Dolce & Gabbana and anything you can think of. So that's not really my style, but it's still fun to see the more modern side of the city. In terms of nightlife in this area, I just want to bring up, I don't know if you remember, but earlier in our chat, I had said that there is a place to play Tejo.
Okay.
Now,
and I
Chris,
did not know what you
meant. Have you ever heard of Tejo?
No.
Okay. So Tejo is a game. It's a Colombian game.
Okay.
That I can only describe as, think of it like playing horseshoes.
Okay.
When you have two teams and you're aiming the horseshoe to get around the spoke, if you will.
Okay.
Well, Tejo is in that kind of realm where it's this long game structure. Mm-hmm. And the aim of the game is you're holding this puck-like thing. I don't really know what to call it other than this puck-like thing. And you're aiming it at this clay board. Mm-hmm. It's a wooden board covered in clay. And in the middle is an explosive piece of paper.
Say what?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Well, that would make horseshoes more fun. Okay.
Exactly. I'm like, the Colombians really just know how to have a good time. So you have to stand behind this line, and the aim of the game is to aim your puck and try to hit, not only just hit the clay, because you get points if you hit the clay, but if you hit the little middle, like explosive, and if you hit it, it will pow, like pop, and everyone kind of jumps, and it's really, really fun. It's a great place to go if you're with a group of friends, or even if you're just with one other person, you might be able to meet somebody there to play with. But there's a rule, I mean, obviously an unspoken rule, that you have to have a drink in your hand when it's your turn. So it's really, really fun. There's a Tejo place, I guess, you know, in this area. So that would be something to definitely add to your maybe like late afternoon into nighttime list. There is Andres Carne de Res. If you haven't heard of this place, it's a very, very, very famous restaurant and nightclub, I guess you could call it. It's kind of a fusion of restaurant and dancing. It's really, really famous because you've probably never in your life been into an establishment with that many decorations on the walls, the ceilings. There's stuff hanging from the ceilings. It's crazy. And they usually have dancers and actors and bands and people playing musical instruments just walking around, coming to your table and putting a crown on you or putting a sash on you. It's really, really fun. So if you like to have a good time, I would definitely recommend going to this place. There is the original location is located very, very far north of the city. So if you can go there, but there's a smaller version, which is really, really fun still. And that's located in the Andino region I'm talking about.
Okay.
Now, also in this area is a place called Galleria Cafe Libro. I really recommend this for people who want to go salsa dancing. It's really fun. This is back towards Park 93. Really, really fun place. I have been multiple times. There's usually a live band and someone's going to come up and ask you to dance. It's a blast and it really gives you that look into the fun salsa culture here.
Okay.
Okay. So next. Something I think people don't realize about Bogota in general is it's a major city, right? It's a sprawling city. There's high rises, all of that. But we're up in the Andes Mountains, right? There is incredible nature just right outside of the city. And I really recommend going on a day hike, not by yourself, because obviously you don't know the area. There are marked trails, of course, but what I'm suggesting is going up into the cloud forest. So there's this company I have no affiliation with whatsoever. I just love them. I've been with them a couple times. They're called Andes Eco Tours, and they'll take you up to Choachi, which is like a little town outside of Bogota. And you can go for a day hike where they'll take you through the rolling farmland. There's cows everywhere, and it's just this gorgeous, gorgeous scenery all the way up into the cloud forest, which is where you start to go higher and higher, higher. You're getting really high elevation and the atmosphere, the landscape completely changes. And I'm not an expert on this or anything, but from what I've learned through these tours is that this is really the only part of the world in South America where you get this type of climate. And when you get up to this certain elevation, I started seeing plants and vegetation I've never seen before. It's almost like you're in this foreign alien land. It's absolutely incredible. And I really, really recommend that to pretty much anybody coming to Bogota because it's just an incredible kind of nature experience when you're here. This usually takes a whole day. It's never less than 5 hours because you need to get out there. And then the hike itself is around 3-4 hours. They say that anyone from not young, young kids, but maybe like 7-ish all the way to like 75-year-olds can probably do this hike. It's not super, super intense. So it's pretty good to recommend to anyone, really.
Okay. When you talk about parks and getting walking, it looks like the closest national park is only like 10 miles away as the crow flies, a little longer on the roads. So you're in and amongst different parks and mountains and valleys and such in that area.
There's just so much to see. And beyond the national parks and things like that, there are hikes you can access directly from the city where you don't need to hire a tour company or get a car or anything like that. You can go literally straight from Usaquén, which is another part of the city that I'd like to talk about, where you can maybe take an Uber straight to the neighborhood and then literally walk up one avenue and start this hike that will take you to an incredible, it's like you're completely out of the city. Mm-hmm. You're in nature, you're hiking, and then you get to the top and it's this insane view of Bogota from above on one side. And then on the other side, it's the water reserve for the north part of the city. It's, the hike is called Cerro Aguadora. Okay. And so it's really cool. Once you hike to the top, you get Bogota on this side, and then it looks like a lake. It's not, it's a reservoir, but this beautiful view of the reservoir on the other side. So I thought maybe I could, now that we're talking about Usaquén, I can tell you a little bit about that part of the city. So north of everything I've talked about so far. So Candelaria is more south in the city, and then you go up towards the Chapinero area, and then north of that is Usaquén. And so Usaquén is a beautiful, really quaint little neighborhood, and it's really known for its shopping. So if you are wanting to get some beautiful handicrafts in Colombia, this is definitely the place I would go. I send everyone here. If I know you're coming to Bogota, you have to come here. The market is called Mercado de las Pulgas. It's only on Sundays. So I always try to say, try to plan your trip and your itinerary so that the day maybe you spend in Usaquén falls on a Sunday. You can start the morning doing this hike to Aguadora. And then you come back down, you end up in Usaquén, the little neighborhood of Usaquén. You can grab brunch at one of the many really, really nice restaurants. There's a lot of fun breakfast and brunch places. And then after, shop in Mercado de las Pulgas. So here you'll find, you know, handmade earrings, handmade scarves, handmade hats, like anything you can imagine. Actually, everything I just listed, I have here in my apartment right now.
Okay. Well, and for those who are not Spanish speakers, we're really just saying the Bogota flea market, Mercado de las Pulgas flea market.
Exactly. So beyond these handicrafts, exactly, the flea market aspect of it is there's some vendors selling old records, mm-hmm, or antique fixtures or anything you can think of. And so it's a huge market. It usually takes me at least I like to poke around and shop and see what's going on. So I spend at least an hour or two poking around and seeing what's kind of going on. So I would definitely carve out at least an hour to walk around. And like I said, it's really sprawling, and mm-hmm, the market on Sundays covers the entire neighborhood.
Got it.
Also in this area, I'm mentioning coffee shops a lot. And the reason for that is because,
if you don't like coffee, don't go to Colombia. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, fine. You can still come here.
Okay.
I actually have a Colombian girlfriend who hates coffee. She doesn't drink coffee. She doesn't like coffee. But the good news is that pretty much any cafe is going to have natural juices.
Okay.
Earlier, I was telling you about, mm-hmm, that fruit market and naming all of those fruits. Well, pretty much every restaurant here offers natural fruit juices. A hint or a recommendation is to order sin azúcar, so no sugar.
Okay.
Because Colombians typically like things pretty sweet. So if you're not much of a sweet person and you really want to get like the fruit flavor, order sin azúcar.
Okay. Makes sense.
But I was saying that there's a couple really great coffee shops in this area. One of them is a little bit of a newer one called El Colo. Again, I visited it the other day. It seems to be open and alive, so we should be good there. And just one more thing about Sunday, since we're talking about Sunday, another really, really fun thing to do on a Sunday is to rent bikes and cycle the city. So that might sound intimidating, right? Like biking in a huge city of 8 million people, like, oh, I'm not sure about that. But on Sundays, there's this thing called ciclovia,
okay,
which basically means the town, or the city shuts down major avenues in Bogota to provide a safe and fun place for locals or visitors to run, walk, bike, rollerblade, you name it, any sort of, you know, outdoor activity like that. So it's really a fun thing to do on a Sunday. You can rent bikes through this app on your phone called Muvo. That's M-U-V-O. It's kind of like a, you know, Lime, the scooter company.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's exactly like that, but for bicycles. They actually have scooters now too, but you can unlock a bike and take it for, and you just kind of pay by the hour. It's really, really cheap and it's fun. You know, you get a completely different view of the city and you're along with all like local people cycling around and having a really great Sunday. Just one thing to keep in mind is that only happens until 2 p.m. So maybe if you're not in the mood to go do that hike, you can go and bike instead.
Okay.
So I'm talking a lot about the city and the different neighborhoods and all these different things to do and to wander and to see. Another thing about Bogota that's really cool is that it's close to some really fun overnight trips, day trips. I would recommend more overnight, which is these two places, one of them called Cafetal de la Trinidad, which is like a traditional Colombian coffee farm.
Hmm.
And it's only 2 hours outside of Bogota. So I know that people have gone maybe just for the day, but when I went, I did a two-night stay. I would recommend that. It's amazing. But, you know, a lot of people think, or maybe if you haven't heard, there's the coffee region of Colombia, which is a completely another place. I've both flown there and I have driven there, taken a bus there, which is, you know, over 20 hours. So if you don't have time to go to a completely separate part of Colombia, mm-hmm. maybe to this coffee region that I'm talking about, a really great alternative and something I really encourage is going to this traditional coffee farm that's right outside of Bogota.
Well, and if you are interested in the coffee region, we have a separate episode of Amateur Traveler on that. So
that's right. That's perfect. So you can go listen to that. But again, if you don't have time and you really are interested in learning about what's the coffee culture like, how does mm-hmm. the coffee farm run in Colombia in general, this is a really, really awesome place to go. It's gorgeous. It's a map. They have hectares and hectares of land. They'll take you on a little tour around riding horses. You can get a tour of the facility, which has been around, I can't think of the year, maybe the 20s. Yeah, actually early 1900s.
Okay.
And they still have the original machinery from then. It's really, really interesting to hear the history of this place. I mean, the FARC came in and took over their land for a decade or more.
Back when we were not talking about traveling to Colombia, and we haven't mentioned it in this show because we think that most people have already heard that it's now safe to travel to Colombia, but there was a dark time.
Mm-hmm. There very much was, and a lot of people still ask, ooh, is it safe to go?
Right.
I can't, you know, you live in Colombia, is that safe? And obviously things have changed massively since the 80s and 90s when things were really, really bad. But it is important to know. I mean, it's a part of their past. It, mm-hmm. it happened. And that's why coming to a place like this, it's a beautiful story. This family farm that was doing amazing and then all of a sudden got everything taken away from them during that, you know, what you're saying, this very dark time. And they've rehabilitated this entire place and turned it into its former glory, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really recommend it as a day trip or an overnight trip, maybe even two nights. And then another day trip you can add to your list, or excuse me, overnight trip would be better, is this place called Villa de Leyva. It is a little colonial town about 3-4 hours by bus. You can go to the North Station here in Bogota and buy a ticket right there and hop on a bus and get to Villa de Leyva. It's so beautiful. It's almost like you feel like you're back in time. The entire town is covered in cobblestone and there's these really old Spanish colonial buildings and there's even a winery. You don't hear that very often in Colombia. Actually, it's the only winery I know of here. But I went and the wine was actually pretty good. I mean, Colombia is definitely not known for their wine, so be gentle. But it's a really kind of fun thing to do. And it's a gorgeous landscape. And so we took out ATVs and went around that, went on like a little tour around the area. And anyways, what I'm saying is it's a really fun trip to take and it's really, really beautiful. Something different. So I would recommend adding that to your itinerary as well.
Excellent. Anything else we want to cover before we start to wrap us up here?
No, I mean that pretty much takes us to day 6, day 7. So that is pretty much my overview of a week-long itinerary here in Bogota.
Excellent. Well, that's what it sounded like. That's why I was starting to wrap us up here. Couple wrap-up questions for you. You're standing in the prettiest spot in Bogota. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
Oh, Chris, that's such a hard and mean, that's honestly a mean question.
See, for those people who listen to the show, Lauren, they would know it was coming. So
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
There's really just something so beautiful about standing on the top of Monserrate and looking out over mm-hmm. the city, and equally going up on Cerro Aguadora and looking over the city. I think that's probably when I hiked to the top of Cerro Aguadora and looked over Bogota from the tippity top, mm-hmm. I felt like I was on top of the world. It was really kind of one of those magical moments. So that's what I would say.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Bogota, and you can't use the exploding horseshoes game again, but but that would count. Yeah,
that's a good one. I laugh because, yeah, it's something I notice and think about and kind of like shake my head at / laugh every day. These sidewalks here in Bogota, mm-hmm. you never know what you're going to come across. So I always recommend, do keep your eyes down sometimes. Take a look down from time to time, because there could just be a gaping hole in the side of the sidewalk or a stick sticking out or just something crazy. So definitely keep an eye out on where you're walking.
Got it. Okay. And boots, not heels, then, is what you were recommending, as I recall, for wearing.
Don't wear heels. Don't wear heels here. Okay. Leave those at home, okay?
Excellent. Well, our guest again has been Lauren Pelkey from wanderlulu.com. And that, I'm going to spell the Lulu part. It's LULULU.com. And Lauren, if we wanted to send people to your website, I think you have not yet written the web post that you want to send us to. Is that right? About Bogota?
I have not, but there is a lot coming. Actually, I'll actually be writing a post about the top things that I wish I knew or that you should know before you come Excellent. To Colombia and to Bogota in general. So it's kind of a list about safety and think kind of funny things that you would just never, you would be very surprised to see. So it's kind of just giving you a little heads up on what you can expect when you come here.
Excellent. Well, and whenever you finish that, just let me know and we'll put it in the show notes. So it might be there when the show comes out, which is 3 weeks from when we're recording it, or it might not, but it'll be there eventually. So excellent. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and telling us about your love for Colombia and specifically for Bogota.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun.
In news of community, first a thanks to our patrons at patreon.com who help keep Amateur Traveler going. And remember that patrons do get an ad-free version of the show. I got an email from Keith with an interesting question. Keith said, I have recently discovered your podcast, Excellent and Thorough, and have been an avid traveler since my college days. I have traveled all over Mexico, Europe, North America, the Middle East, Peruvian Andes, Caribbean, and to some degree Asia, as well as all over the U.S., but I digress. The purpose of my email is that I am approaching retirement in a year or so. I am in very good health and still very active physically, but I am single. Not looking for a mate, just wanted to say that I travel alone, and my social crowd isn't into travel. So I was wondering if you have any travel clubs you could recommend once we get out beyond COVID, or could simply tell me a little more about your trips to see how I might navigate my desire to travel with a lot more time on my hands and maybe as part of a group with a common interests. My best, Keith. I wrote back to Keith, and I don't know if you find yourself in a similar situation. I know there are local travel clubs. Meetup.com is a place where you can look for those. I've heard mixed results. I've heard people who travel with some of the local travel clubs and have really loved it. Sometimes who started with a local trip that was lower risk before doing something internationally. On the other hand, when we were on the European barge cruise last year, we're talking to the crew and they had a group on in a week or two previously that had met up in a group that way and just weren't even speaking to each other by this point in the trip. I think it was like week 6 of the trip and it was too long with not the right people. So hit or miss that way, but I've certainly heard some people have had great experiences. I would also recommend small group tours. We've talked about Intrepid on this show, G Adventure, some of those things, or for higher end, there are other tours, companies like Trafalgar and such, that would be a little more luxurious, depending on what you're looking for. And that be said, we will be restarting the Amateur Traveler trips just as soon as it's safe to do so. You can find out more about those at amateurtraveler.com/trips, but you could also use that private Facebook group if you want to connect with other listeners of the show, because they probably have a similar kind of travel style. Because they are also interested in Amateur Traveler, it means that they tend to be more culture-focused travel rather than let's just go drink travel, probably. And so if you're looking for that, you can use that particular private group. You have my permission to do so, to see if you can find travel companions who might have similar interests. And I did want to share with you two reviews I got, both 5-star reviews, so great reviews on Apple Podcasts. But you can tell a little bit about the problem that I have determining what to do for content for this show by these two reviews. The first one from Cornhusker55. You might be able to guess whether this person was a fan of the Nebraska podcast. I can't believe you waited so long to discuss Nebraska. I've been all across the USA, and Nebraska is my favorite state by far. I love the show. Keep it up, Chris. But then we had from reviewer JJR, Nebraska? Really? I agree the podcast is great, but Nebraska? Nebraska? So we don't always agree. And that's fine. If we were all the same, life would be boring. I can put up with a little dissent in terms of differences of opinion as far as that goes. I also forgot, I don't know whether I welcomed our latest patron, Catherine Zell, to be a patron of the show, but if not, welcome, Catherine, and if I have, welcome again. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have a question, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.